Please be seated. On behalf of the family, I'd like to thank you for your presence here today. We pray that God would bless us with His peace, His comfort, His hope, His powerful and precious Word that covers over all our sin and all our iniquity. We'll be following the order of service in our hymnal. We invite you to follow along and participate as you are able. That service is on page 278 and following. Page 278 and following. All of the hymns are in our hymnal. We have a worship insert with all of our scripture readings as well. Our opening hymn is number 605, Father Welcomes. Before we sing, let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come into Your house today and our hearts are aching, our hearts are broken. Our husband, our dad, our son, our friend is no longer with us. It hurts beyond description. Heavenly Father, pour out the comforting balm of Your Word. Ease our pain. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Tune our ears and our hearts to Your sure and certain Word and Your sure and certain promises. Heavenly Father, as You claimed Kevin in the waters of holy baptism as Your own, remind us of the power of Your Word and the faithfulness of Your promises. Bless our service today. May it bring glory to You as it extols the cross and empty tomb. All these things, Lord, we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 605.
Amen. Worship, page 278, page 278, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In holy baptism, Kevin was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?
We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His."
We turn to Psalm 46, printed on your bulletin insert. We'll speak it together.
God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter, He utters His voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
We continue with the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Kevin and to all your servants who finished their course in faith and who now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seeks Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve the children of men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hymn
809.
Thank you. epistle is from 1 Peter chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. Alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead.
To Him be glory and power forever. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
God has made us His people through our baptism into Christ. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated for our sermon hymn number 450, stanzas 1, 3, 6, and 7. 1, 3, 6, and 7.
Thank you.
Members of Good Shepherd congregation, family and friends that have gathered here this afternoon in this house of worship, special family and friends decked out in their uniforms today. Edna, Maddie, Aubrey, and especially to you, Tanya, grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Wednesday afternoon, Bluestem Lake. I wasn't there. You weren't there. Sadly, tragically, Kevin was. For the better part of 5 days, we have been consumed. Consumed with questions that have no answers. Consumed with whys and what ifs and coulda beens and shoulda beens. Our whole life has been flipped upside down. Chaos. Absolute chaos. So here we are in God's house. I wish I could give you specific answers for every one of your questions, but it doesn't work that way. Wednesday afternoon, Bluestem Lake. We weren't there. But Kevin was not alone. Let us turn our hearts and our minds and our thoughts and our questions to the one who was there, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us turn our attention to the sure and certain Word of God. Let us shape and reshape and reshape our questions again so that God's Word clearly gives us an answer. We turn to the Word of God, the holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. The Holy Spirit has caused these words to be recorded through the prophet Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Dear friends in Christ, these words from Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, start out with a but. But now, whenever there is a but in Scripture, we are to take notice and to look. Everything that had happened before is now going to be flipped on end. In chapter 42 of Isaiah, God is not happy. Fiery words of law coming from God through the prophet. The people have disobeyed God. The people have disobeyed God's word. The people have become deaf and blind. Not physically, not literally, but they have become deaf to the word of God and blind to the ways and will of God. They have formed and fashioned for themselves every kind of false idol, false god, and graven image that you can possibly imagine. God is not happy. His fiery words of law and condemnation and judgment are sharp and real and severe. But God does not leave people. God does not leave you with that word of judgment and law and condemnation. But now, God says, but now, a different message is coming. But now, a different word. But now, says the Lord, He who created you, He who formed you, you may form and shape for yourself all kinds of false gods and false images, but remember who formed and shaped you. Remember who knit you together in your mother's womb. God is the ultimate former and shaper. God is the one who made you, crafted you, and created you. And then He says, fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Whenever anything big is going to happen in Scripture, God sends a messenger, sometimes an angel, but He sends a messenger. And the first words out of the messenger's mouth are always the same. Fear not. Fear not. Why? Why does God have to repeat Himself so often? Because He knows us. He knows us very well. He knows that we are people who are full of fear. We can be afraid of anything and everything. Oh, we put on a macho air and a macho act. But we can be afraid of our own shadow. And we know it. What kind of things cause us to be afraid? To be filled with fear? A fear of the future? A fear of the unknown? A fear of death? A fear of God? And the punishment that we justly deserve because of our sin? Fear demonstrates our sinfulness and our lack of ability to cling to the Word of God, to the promises of God, to the good news that God gives us. God says, fear not. Fear not. He doesn't say fear not because our sin is no big deal. He doesn't say fear not because He's going to give us a do-over. He doesn't say fear not because He doesn't care. Quite the opposite. He says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have bought you back. I have paid the price. I have paid the penalty. Yes, your sins are great. But My redemption is greater. Your sins offend Me. But I take that offense. I take that guilt. I take that shame. I take that punishment. And I put it not on you, but on My Son. My only Son whom I love. Jesus Christ, O sacred head, now wounded. Why? He didn't sin. He didn't have to die. But He willingly took your sin, my sin, Kevin's sin, onto Himself and into Himself, bleeding and dying the death we deserve, paying the punishment we have earned. That's redemption. This is God's gift to you, the gift of a Savior. This is why God can boldly say today, fear not! Fear not! The Apostle John writes that perfect love drives away fear. No matter how hard you try, you cannot love perfectly. Not all the time. You might get close once in a while, but it'll always fall short. Perfect love drives away fear. Jesus Christ is perfect love. Perfect love that takes on flesh and blood, leaving His throne in heaven. King of kings and Lord of lords, who comes and dwells among us. Perfect love walks the path under God's holy law, not sinning, not once, not ever. Perfect love carries the burden and the weight of all sin, for all people, for all time, to an old rugged cross. Perfect love bleeds and dies as our substitute. Perfect love cannot be held, not even by death itself. Perfect love bursts the bonds of death and the grave, never to die again. Perfect love is Jesus Christ. And yet that perfect love does us no good unless that perfect love is for you. My friends, the best good news of all in our words from Isaiah. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I've called you by name. You are mine. 24 times in the first 7 verses of Isaiah 43, God uses the pronoun you in the singular. Yes, our God is a cosmic God and rules the universe. But He is a God for you. He sends a Savior for you. He bleeds and dies for you. He forgives your sin, your guilt, your pain, your punishment. He does it all for you. He's called you by name in the waters of holy baptism, delivering Good Friday and Easter to you. That's where we died with Christ and rose with Him, as we confessed from Romans 6 earlier in our service. My friends, whatever comes your way, whatever trials, whatever tribulations, whatever tragedy, whatever chaos, God says, fear not. Fear not, for I am with you. 3 examples are given in Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I'm with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not cover over you. When you pass through the fires, you will not be burned. It's easy to see the imagery and the irony for a firefighter in that verse. But that's not what that verse is talking about. When the children of Israel crossed through the Red Sea on dry ground, it was the power of God's nostrils that parted the waters so the children of Israel could walk through on dry ground. Slavery and death on one side, freedom and life on the other. When the children of Israel wanted to go into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the land that God had promised for them, they couldn't because there was a raging flood in the river. God parted the waters and they walked through on dry ground. God keeping His promise again. The children of Israel were no strangers to fire. The Babylonians captured their land and set everything on fire. But the fire would not consume them, as the three men in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, found out. Thrown into the fiery furnace, their hair was not singed, and their clothes did not even smell like smoke. That is the powerful word of promise and presence of our God, who is our Savior from sin. I am the Lord your God, He promises, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. 72 times in the book of Isaiah, God tells us He is our Savior. Savior from what? Savior from sin. My friends, Christians sin daily. Christians sin much. Christians struggle with sin. Even the Apostle Paul struggled with sin. That battle that waged inside of him between the new man that God had created and that old Adam, that sinful flesh that lives inside. Paul's struggle. Romans 7. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. So I find this law at work, that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. You and I struggle with sin every day. If you don't struggle with sin, you're probably not a Christian. Christians struggle with sin. That ongoing daily battle between new life in Christ and that sinful old Adam or old Eve that lives inside of us. Kevin faced that same struggle. Battling that struggle. And yet, in the midst of that struggle, the Apostle Paul says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. How could he say that? The first verse of chapter 8 says, are you listening? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. My friends, we have many questions and not many answers. God gives us the answers we need and the answers to sustain us. Sin is real. Sinners die. Why doesn't God do something about it? He did. He sent Jesus to overcome sin, death, and the grave. This daily battle that we have is real. My friends, this is why we go to church. This is not some country club of do-gooders. This is where sinners who are in need of a Savior come and are fed and nourished by God's holy word and God's precious sacrament. Kevin came into this house as a sinner, usually sitting right about over there. Sunglasses on top of his head. You know the picture. Always a smile on his face. He heard the Word of God. He heard those promises of God for him. He ate and drank Christ's body and blood, given and shed for him. Did that make his struggle with sin any less? No, of course not. Today, we come here and we rejoice, not in our faithfulness. It's never about our faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. It is about the faithfulness of God who takes care of sinners like you and me. It is the faithfulness of God that gives us His Word of hope, His Word of comfort, His Word of promise, right here and right now. We come into God's house. Maybe you're like me today. Maybe you're filled with guilt. I could have done more. I should have said this. I shouldn't have said that. Why didn't I notice? My friends, the blood of Jesus Christ covers over your sin of guilt, your sin of action or inaction. Jesus says, "Fear not, for I am with you." His word, His promises are sure and certain and real for you. We have many people here today who serve in one way, shape, or form. Law enforcement, fire and rescue personnel, any other variety. God uses that service. God uses that service to serve and to protect. I've had dozens of people in the last 4 days come up to me and talk about what a model of service Kevin was in that respect. I served on the volunteer fire department in my hometown nearly 10 years. Then I served on the city council, helping the fire department and the police and the rescue for another 4 years. Then I served on the police reserves for another 4 years after that. Let me tell you something. While this kind of service is good and honorable and God-pleasing, I'm speaking from personal experience. It's like a drug. It's like a drug. You can't get enough. No matter how much you do, you can't do enough. And so you always want to do more. And you always want to do more. And you always want to do more, my friends. Your work of service and protection is not in place of God or in place of family or in place of friends, but to serve them. Keep things in perspective. Keep things in balance. And God will use and bless this service to His glory and for the benefit of His people. When I was 8 years old, my dad dropped over dead of a heart attack. Roughly the same age as Kevin. I know what it's like to grow up without a dad. It's not easy. God's word, Maddie, Aubrey, are for you. Fear not. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. My mom was 44 when my dad died. By the grace of God, next month, she will turn 96 years old. She's been alone a long time. But she's never been alone. Fear not. She has clung to those words and promises. Fear not. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And God will use these people gathered here and more. Your family, your friends, your church family, and people you can't even imagine. To be there, to help, to encourage, to support. Not to replace, but to remind you and point you to the sure and certain promises of God. And to be God's presence for you. Right here. And right now. My friends, today, here in God's house, God has sent a messenger who is certainly no angel. To speak to you a sure and certain word. Fear not, O Hickman. Fear not, O Lincoln. Fear not, O Pender. I have created you. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When the waters get deep, maybe even from a surprise storm like this morning, when the fires are hot, and certainly there will be hot fires, either literally for the fire department or spiritually in our lives, God will be there. He will protect you. And He will point you to the sure and certain Word of God. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who says, "It is finished, He is risen, thanks be to God, Alleluia, Amen." And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our service, and our questions in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. As we have heard the Word of God, we also hear His invitation to bring our prayers and petitions to Him. Please stand for prayer.
To the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, You have knit Your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of Your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to Your whole church in heaven and on earth Your light and Your peace. Lord, in Your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with Him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in Your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of Your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with Him at Your heavenly banquet. Lord, in Your mercy, give to the family of Kevin and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in Your loving care, that, casting all their sorrow on You, they may know the consolation of Your love. Lord, in Your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in Your mercy, O God of all grace, You sent Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by His death He destroyed the power of death, and by His resurrection He opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because He lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from Your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting His promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die.
Lord, now You let Your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which You have prepared in the sight of every people. A light to reveal You to the nations and the glory of Your people in Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our Shepherd, You gather the lambs of Your flock into the arms of Your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with all those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give to you peace.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace.
In the name of the Lord. Amen.
You may be seated for the closing hymn, number 575. At this point, I'd like to invite you to, after the service, to a brief bars and cookies and such in the fellowship hall immediately after the service. The committal service will be at St. John Lutheran Church in Pender, Nebraska at 5:30 p.m. today. Our closing hymn, number 575.